Morning, Rabbosai. Continuing our discussion about the ladies. So we've established that the ladies were such an important part of the Nes, and we've said that we've learned that there was a lady called Yehudis and a lady called Chana, and there were two separate incidents apparently that happened, and one of them was the inspiration and the beginning of the uprising. That was the story of Chana. And the story of Yehudis was when she managed to kill the Roman governor or the general, whoever it was. And the Greek. It's funny, when I talk about the Romans, I keep on talking about the Germans. Speaking about the Greeks, I speak about the Romans. Anyway, yeah, she killed the Greek thing. Oh, she cut off his head. They put up his head at the entrance of Yerushalayim. And fled. So... and ad kadei kach, that they're all so important that we say that they are as mechuyev or mechuyovois in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as a man, and a woman can be moitzi a man if necessary, without problems with sneers. But al pi halacha, a woman can be moitzi a man with a brocha. She can light, and a wife can light for her husband. But that's maybe an ishta kagufa issue. Okay. So the question that's asked here, he brings down in Sefer Melechus Koyanim from a Sefer called Chikrei Lev. And he says, Sefer Chikrei Lev is written by somebody called Rav Agon Aaron Goloventshitz Shlita. I don't know who he is. Anybody know? Anyway, so, what? It doesn't say. It says Aaron Goloventshitz Shlita, and this Sefer is about 10 years old probably. So he says in the Sefer Chikrei Lev, he asks the question, so why isn't the Nisim that occurred through the ladies mentioned in Al HaNisim? If you're mentioning Al HaNisim, Vala Pulkon, Vala Gvorois, Vala Tejuois, you're mentioning the Nisim that occurred. I mean, there's separate Torahs which we've heard in Torah Shurim about why the Nes of the Ner that burnt for 8 days isn't mentioned there as well. Is that the Nes? Different Nes? Okay, that's separate. But he says, what about the Nes of the ladies? Yeah, there were two Nisim, which are so important in the history of Chanukah, that they're mechayev the women equally to the men to be mechayev the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. In which case, why isn't it mentioned in Al HaNisim? And so he says that in the Sefer Chikrei Lev, he leaves it there b'tzorachian. And he doesn't give an answer as to why. So the author of this Sefer, Mamlechus Koyanim, wants to suggest a very simple answer, but then he brings two proofs to it. He says, the Gemara says in Yuma, when the Gemara is discussing the Isurim of the Inuyim, if you like, of Yom Kippur, that the women are Teshishe Koyach. That the women are, in English they say, the fairer sex. They're not as strong as the men, they're weaker than the men. So he says it could be that Mosato Giborim Biyad Chaloshim is the remes to the ladies. The ladies are the Chaloshim, and we said that there were at least two of them, maybe more, but there was at least Yehudis and there was Chano. So therefore they are the Chaloshim, and Mosato Giborim Biyad Chaloshim. And he brings a couple of riots to this in order to what's called. One of them is, he says that in the parish of the Roikeach, yeah, who's a Rishon, who has a parish on Siddur, he says, he brings down, Mosata Geborim Biyad Chaloshim, there he brings down the story of the Maisa of Yehudis. So it's mashma, that because he brings down the story of Yehudis, at that point, is mashma, the Geborim Biyad Chaloshim, he understood, was that the ladies are, that's a reference to the ladies. What?
That was the source that we were looking for,
yeah? Yeah. Yeah, and then he says as well, he says there's a Medrash Rabbeinu David. I don't know which is the Medrash Rabbeinu David, I'm not familiar with it. But he says in the Medrash Rabbeinu David, in Parshas Miketz, in this week's Sedra, Besoif Rosh Hosei Al Chanukah. So obviously in Medrash Rabbeinu David, which is probably, I don't know whether it's a Medrash or not, but he says in his Drosha for Chanukah, he says as follows, that Yehudis said a tefillah before she went in to spend time with the Roman with the Greek governor. Yeah, she said, "Betfilas Yehudis lifnei she'omdo la'aroig es ha'oyev bishnosoi." That before she went in order to kill the enemy, she said, "Ribonu shloilam, ato ho'oizer es avodecho, you who help your servants, hachaloshim al oyevecho hagiboyim." So in the Loshen of the Tefillah of Yehudis, where before she went in, she described, she asked Kaddish Baruch Hu to assist the Chaloshim v'yad Giborim. And therefore, for those two reasons, he wants to suggest an answer to why we don't mention the women in Al Anisim, and to say that where it says Misati Giborim v'yad Chaloshim, that is the reference to the women who took such an important part in the Nes Hanukkah that they became a chuyav equally to the men.
Started at the Torahway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Lamed Kislev, third day Hanukkah, 17th of December, Moreno Rav Motcha Weiss, Shlita, Hanukkah, Inyan. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously. In honor of the birth of a son, he rots and shoots Kilgadle, Surah, Lechupala, Maasim Tovim, or Inishmas, our esteemed founder, Reb Yosef Dov, Ben. Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz
Good morning, everyone. Happy Hanukkah. It's an honor and a privilege to be here again. And as always, Hashem should hope I should be able to continue for many more years. This year should also be the Nishmas, unfortunately, all the victims, the Bondi Beach, the Sydney attack. Terrible, terrible tragedy. Hashem should send a nechama to all the family members, all those involved, and should send a refuah shleima to all the victims, bekurif mamash. So, whenever we speak about any Hanukkah topic, obviously we have to start with the famous kasha of the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef asks why the nes was 8 days, it should have only been 7 days because there was enough oil for one day. Finally, I asked my family this past week, I asked them a riddle. I said, do any of you know mathematics? They said, yes. I said, imagine you go to school and you come back every single day, your teacher tells you 3 answers on the kasha of the Beis Yosef. How many answers would they have in total? 8 days Hanukkah, 3 answers a day. Anyone can work it out, take out the calculators. So it all came back 24. Not bad. So now, well, yeah, they told them for Shabbos also. Then they asked them, and let's work it out. And if Hanukkah would only be 7 days, how many answers would he have then? Most of them fell for it. They all said 21. I told them there would be no answers because there wouldn't be a question. If there would only be 7 days, then there wouldn't be a question of the Beis Yosef, if the kasha was only when we have 8 days and not 7 days. So that was, I got them all. So the kasha of the Beis Yosef, that's the kasha that we're going to start off with. Why do we make 8 days? The miracle was only for 7 days because there was enough oil for the first day. We know the Torah is not just the nes of Hanukkah, the miracle of Hanukkah, something which, as we find in the Surah, tell us, it is something which still applies to this very day, to our day-to-day life. In fact, we even make a broche, and we say, before we light the candles, we say, she'oso nisim laviseini, that the Rebbeinu Shalom who made the miracle to our forefathers, by Yom Mahayim Bezmanazen, those days, he still does it to this very day. And the Surah and the sages tell us that the same miracles that happened then, they happen every single year again and again and again. So the question is, how do those miracles apply to us in our lives? Where do we find in our lives the concept of lighting one candle which lights for 8 days, going out to a war against the enemies? How does that apply to our day-to-day life? Obviously, the Torah is something which is eternal. Hanukkah is something which is eternal. And it's something for us to take along to this very day. There's a famous Ramban, and the Ramban is in the end of Parshas Bo'i, a very well-known Ramban. And the Ramban explains and he says as follows. What is the purpose? Why does Hashem from time to time create miracles which are beyond the laws of nature? Yetzias Mitzrayim took us out of Egypt. beyond the laws of nature. And many, many times throughout the Jewish history, we find that God created miracles which were completely beyond the laws of nature. Says the Ramban, the purpose of those miracles that the Rebbeinu Shalom did from time to time wasn't just that we should thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for those particular miracles that happened. But much more important than that is that we should notice and we should acknowledge that we are surrounded by miracles every single day of our life. If you just think a moment, every single person goes around to have a little camera there watching us, videoing us. Do you know that every single human being has the most sophisticated professional video camera that works not just for a year, without a year's guarantee, but it works hopefully for 120 years. The most sophisticated machine that takes in images constantly, 24/7. I mean, obviously not when the person is asleep, but when the person is up. And this video camera is called the eyes. The eyes that we ourselves walk around with our eyes. We could see a video camera, sophisticated. Well before all the technology, there's not a single device in the world that could come anywhere close, remotely close, to how sophisticated our eyes are. Is that not a miracle? The fact that we have our digestive system, how many miracles go into that? I'm not a scientist, and I don't know, but even what we know nowadays, what goes on in a person's body. How many thousands and millions of commands does our brain give out every single moment to our body, for the whole body to be able to function every single minute? For our oxygen, for our lungs to be able to breathe? These are miracles that happen every single day. If you watch, if you see how a person is created and how it goes through the whole from the person until the person is born, how many stages it goes through and how many miracles go into that of the birth of a person. And the fact that we have a beautiful lighting system that even all the LED lights and all the other lights don't come anywhere close to the thing called the sun that comes up every single day and illuminates the entire world and it brings down warmth to the world. It's not too far, it's not too close. If it would have been a little bit closer, it would have burnt the world to cinders. If it would have been a little bit too far, it would have been frozen, it would have been frozen to death. It's exactly the perfect temperature, and it comes up every single day. This beautiful system that works, and it comes up and goes down. These are miracles which were surrounded day to day, minute by minute. Tremendous miracles. Says the Ramban that from time to time, what the Rebbeinu Shlom did, he made certain miracles which were beyond the laws of nature, in order that we should notice and acknowledge that it's not only that. Those are called the miracles which are Nisim and Niglim, which are the revealed miracles. But then from those we have to acknowledge and notice all the Nisim and Nistorim, which are the hidden miracles which accompany us every single moment of our lives. And the main avoda that we have is Hoidua. Hoidua means to thank the Rebbeinu Shlom not just for those revealed miracles, but rather to thank the Rebbeinu Shlom for those Al Nisechu Shebechol Yoim Emuni, for the miracles that happen every single day with us. And in fact, the reason why we say Al Anisim is in the Hal, we thank Hashem for the tremendous miracle that happened in the times of Chanukah. But where, in what part of Shemini Esrei did Chazal put this in? They actually put it into the Brocha of Moedim. Moedim, that's the Brocha in which we thank the Rebbeinu Shemal Nisecho Shebechol Yom Emuni on the miracles that happen every single day. Because these two things go together. The purpose of those revealed miracles was just to bring our awareness to the hidden miracles which surround us every single moment of our lives. The Sfurim say, the Gemara says, a very interesting, peculiar memory. The Gemara says that someone who says hal every single day, he's, so to speak, he curses the Rebbeinu Shloim. And the question is, what's he doing wrong? He's saying hal every single day. I would have thought that this person, he's the one who blesses the Rebbeinu Shloim. He doesn't curse the Rebbeinu Shloim. Our sages teach us that the deep meaning of this passage is as follows. Hal refers to a person who thanks the Rebbeinu Shloim for the revealed miracles. Someone who thanks the Rebbeinu Shloim for the revealed miracles is essentially saying that everything else goes according to the laws of nature. The Rebbeinu Shloim doesn't deserve to get thanked for those things. The Rebbeinu Shloim only deserves to get to thank you for the revealed miracles, because that's why I'm only thanking him for the revealed miracles. So someone who does that, harayze mechalef megadef, because hal, that refers to the revealed miracles. The purpose is not just to thank the Rebbeinu Shloim for the revealed miracles, but much rather to understand that we are surrounded every single moment of our lives with hidden miracles 24/7, millions upon millions of miracles that surround us every single moment of our lives. This is the main purpose, to acknowledge this inyan of Nisim and Nisturim. Our sages tell us that when a person comes to this realization that he is surrounded by miracles every single moment of his lives, a person like that, for him, it's not going to make much of a difference when he sees a miracle which is beyond the laws of nature, because it's all beyond the laws of nature. It doesn't make much of a difference. A person like that says, in the Surim of the Kaddish Lev, he says that he is able to create Nisim beyond the laws of nature. And in fact, even to this very, in our generation, there were certain tzaddikim who they made miracles beyond the laws of nature. The famous Baba Sali was known to make miracles beyond the laws of nature. The famous Rivnitz tzaddik, who lived in America, beyond the laws of nature. On a daily basis, people saw miracles that were beyond the laws of nature. Many, many more tzaddikim. And the reason is because by them, the laws of nature simply didn't exist. Like the Ramban says, we have to understand that there is no such thing as laws of nature. There's no such thing. There is the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly doing this. And for them, it didn't make any difference if the same God who makes the sun come out in the morning, which is a tremendous miracle, could take a person who's about to die and make him alive again. To make Tikkun Olam, it doesn't make any difference. The same Ribbono Shel Olam is able to do anything. You could take a person who didn't have children for 50 years and then all of a sudden make him have children. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. People like that are able to bring upon tremendous listen because in their eyes they don't see any difference whatsoever between laws which are miracles which are beyond nature and miracles which are in nature. It's all the same. There's an interesting Gemara in Bruches. The Gemara says that someone has a dream and in his dream he's shown one of these three words, either Yoichanan, or Chanine, or Chananye, in his dream, then that means that Nisai Nisim Nasadoi, that miracles of miracles will happen to him. That's what the Gemara says in Bruches. There's a beautiful Hezbo from Reb Tzudek HaKohen from Lublin, Tzadik that lived, the pre-war Tzadik, he lived in Lublin. He said as follows, the beautiful Pshat. He says, Pshat, what does it mean, Nisai Nisim, miracles of miracles? He said, this refers to the concept that we're talking about now, that a person who he's surrounded by miracles constantly on a daily basis, he sees miracles every single moment of his life. So when Hashem sends him a miracle which is beyond the laws of nature, that's called nisanism. That's the miracle of miracles, because miracles he has the whole time. So this is just an additional miracle, which is nisanism. So basically what the dream is telling him is that he will merit to achieve this level of noticing that wherever he is constantly surrounded by miracles. That is the Nisa, the Chananye. The Rashi explains that the Chananye, Chanin, and Yerchdan all have two nuns, two letters, Nian, which that refers to Nisim. Yes, so two twice Nian, that's Nisa, Nisim, that's miracle of miracles. It says a beautiful verse, and that's where we find that in the Gemara, Reb Chanina ben Doise famously said when his daughter couldn't find any oil tonight for the Avdolah candle, she brought vinegar. And he said, it makes no difference. Mi Shom al Hashem of Yadik, the same God who told oil to burn, could tell vinegar to burn also. It says, because Reb Chanina ben Doise, his name was Chanina, those are the two Nians. It says, he had inside his name, he achieved this level of being someone who lives surrounded by miracles. So he saw miracles on a constant basis. That was why it was called Reb Chanina ben Doise. So Reb Tzudek HaKohen says a beautiful word. It says, Matasyui ben Yoichnan Kohen Gudel. It says, Matasyui is the words Matas, which means a present. Yuhi is the letters Yid Kevav, which is the Rebbein Shalom. He lived with this awareness that he's constantly given another present from the Rebbein Shalom. The Rebbein Shalom is constantly giving him presents, constantly creating miracles with him. That's why he was called Matasyui. He says he was called Matasyui ben Yoichnan. What does it mean, ben Yoichnan? He says, ben, just like you know, someone is a ben Toyre. What does a ben Toyre mean? Someone who, that's his essence, he is a ben Toyre. He was a ben Yoichnan, because Yoichnan, we said before, that refers to the two nuns, someone who lives with this awareness that is constantly surrounded by miracles. This Matasyui, he was a ben Yoichnan. And that is exactly the reason why he was chosen to be the one who was going to bring about miracles to Klal Yisrael, because he achieved this level of awareness that he was surrounded by miracles constantly, so he was chosen to be the one who's going to bring about miracles to Klal Yisrael. That's what the Reb Tzudek HaKohen says, a beautiful Hezbe. And that will be our first answer for today for the Bes Yosef's Kasha. We started off why we make a miracle, why we make 8 days Chanukah, the miracle was only for 7 days. The answer is someone who achieves this level of awareness understands that it's just as much miracle to make a candle burn for 8 days to make it burn for 1 day. It's the same miracle. Why does oil burn? It's a miracle. So there's no reason why to thank the Rebbein Shem just for the last 7 days. It's equally a miracle the first day. So that's why we make 8 days, to prove this point that we are surrounded by even things which appear to us that they are within the laws of nature are in fact miracles which happen on a constant basis. That's going to be our first. I would like to take that to our second level, and I think that was where we could apply this to our day-to-day life. There's one fundamental difference between a person who lives constantly with this awareness that he is surrounded by miracles to a person who he lives within the laws of nature, within the Derech HaTeva. And that is, when a person comes to a point in his life where he wants to achieve something which in his eyes appears to be beyond reach, something which he cannot reach, whether it's in the physical world, the physical realm, in Panosa, or more importantly, when it comes to the physical, it comes to spirituality. So for example, a person has every single day, he learns a certain amount of time a day, whether it's in the morning, he comes out to the Torah way, perhaps by night, he also gives away some time. But he feels from time to time an itchy feeling that he wants to do something more. He wants to give the Rebbe Shlom something more, and he feels it's just beyond, it's just impossible. I've got so many things, so many teirdos in my day, I've got so many things in my day, which I just simply can't do it, I can't. Here's going to be a very big difference between the two people. The person who lives within the laws of nature, all right, it's impossible. Why even try? There's no point in trying. I'm not going to get there anyway. A person understands that there is no such thing as laws of nature. We are surrounded by miracles constantly. Anyway, whatever we achieve is not from us. It's a matas kar, it's a present from the Rebbeinu Shlom. So the same Rebbeinu Shlom who can make something which seems within reach could also create something which is not within reach. So all I have to do is, I have to take the first step. What do we do? We do a shtadlis. What does shtadlis mean? The shtadlis means that we do our little bit. Why is that? Anyway, it's going to come from the Rebbeinu Shlom. It's just because we just have to put ourselves in the right direction. We have to show the Rebbeinu Shlom that we'd like this particular thing to happen. And then once we put ourselves in this direction, then the miracles start to flow in that direction. So for example, the person wants to try and create more time in his day to spend time with his family, to have a closer relationship with his spouse, with his children, then all he has to do, take the first step. What could I do today to add a few minutes to my day where I'm going to spend somewhat more time with my family? Whether it's going to be whilst I light the Hanukkah candles, I'm going to close my telephone, and I'm just going to spend focused time to give attention to my kids. I'll do that first step. How long is it going to last for? I don't know. But anyway, it's not going to be me. I'm just going to put myself in the right direction. I'm going to do my little bit, and then the miracles are going to start flowing in that direction. Or whether it's I want to make some more time to learn Torah, so I'm going to try and find another 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day, I'm going to try and add another additional 5 minutes a day. What's that going to bring me? I don't know. But I'm going to do my little bit, and then once I set myself in that direction, the miracles are going to start flowing in that direction. And the same thing applies to every area of our life, and the same thing also applies to the other way around. We are facing a tremendous war, and I'm not talking about the external war of anti-Semitism, I'm talking about the internal war we have with all the technology and all that poses tremendous challenges in our lives. And people very often they think to themselves it's impossible. It's just too strong. They're much too strong for us. There's no way we could. And what the person says, so the first person will say, yeah, I live within the laws of nature, there's nothing I could do. So let's give up. Let's pick up hands and we'll just give up. Pick up the white flag. It's finished. We'll surrender. But someone who lives understands that there's no such thing as laws of nature. He's beyond the laws of nature. I'll do my little bit. I'll try and add an additional filter. I'll try and limit the time of my day that I spend on social media, whatever it's going to be. I'll try and do my little bit, add a few minutes a day. And that tiny little bit sets him in that direction. And then all of a sudden he sees miracles and things come up and pop up in the right direction. And things start to flow in the direction that he wants to go. That is a very, very, very fundamental difference between these two people. He says, the Reb Tzudik, the Chashmenuim, it just doesn't make sense. Imagine nowadays you're going to go wage war with Americans. The Americans come with all the technology, with the atom bombs and all the tanks and all the machinery and all the... And then you have a few primitive people coming out with the little sword and the little bow and arrow. And they're going to wage war with Americans. It just doesn't make any sense. And the few Chashmenuim, a few single people, are going to wage war against the Greek Empire. Talking about thousands upon thousands of soldiers with the most sophisticated machinery at the time that they had. It just doesn't make any sense. And the answer is, it doesn't have to make sense. It's not our job. It's not within the laws of nature. But they understood that, exactly as I said before, Matisui ben Yoichanan, he lived with this awareness that there is no such thing as laws of nature. We are constantly surrounded by miracles. I'll do my little bit. What will happen? I don't know. It has nothing to do with me. I'll set myself in the right direction. I'll take that first step towards achieving the goal, and the rest I'll leave up to the Rabbeinu Shlom. I'll just take the first step. I'm going to light candles. What's the purpose of lighting a candle for one day? You haven't got enough for 8 days anyway. What's the purpose? What's the point? The answer is, there is no point. But I'll do my little bit, and then things will start flowing in the right direction. This is perhaps another answer to the question of the Bais Yosef, why we make 8 days. And the answer is because the first day, although it wasn't a miracle, that was the most important one. Because only because they took that first step, they lit that one day, that was why they merited to achieve the last 7 days. If they wouldn't have taken that first step in that direction, they wouldn't have achieved this miracle. Because in order to achieve miracles, you have to take the first step in the right direction, and then the miracles will start happening. Obviously, only when the person lives within this awareness that everything is miracles. In terms of our life, our personal life, we are all faced, like we said before, with these types of challenges. And we are able, Chazal tell us, that the same miracles which God did for Matisyu ben Yochta Kohen Gudel still applies to us to this very day. That's why we say the Bruch Ushanisim Lavasaini Bayumu Mohaim Bezman Azeh, that the same God who made the miracles to our forefathers create miracles to us. Every single one of us has the ability within him to become a Matis Yui Ben Yochanan, who has this tremendous thing, a koyach, tremendous strength of Yochanan. We are able to achieve this awareness that we are surrounded by miracles. So next time when we are faced, whenever we want to add anything to our life, want to achieve goals in our life, which seem beyond reach, it's impossible to reach it, whether we want to add time to our day to learn Torah, whether we want to add time in our day to spend more time with our family to make a stronger, truer, deeper relationship with our spouse and kids, whether it's we want to add more time and to do chesed, to help other people, anything we want to do and it seems beyond reach, it's impossible for us to do it, we don't have to make calculations how it's going to work out. All we have to do is we have to light our candle. We have to light that one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and with that, we will see miracles happening to us. And the same thing is in the CMRU, when we want to wage war with the technology or whatever other challenges we face in our life, which seems it's beyond reach, there's no way we could overpower it. The answer is, we are going to be like the Chashmonaim, like Matisyu. We are going to do our small little bit in order to do our war, and Ribbono Shel Olam, he will be Mesar to Geboirim Beyad Chalushim, he will already give the strong, powerful enemies of the Yetzer Hara, he will give it over in our hands. But that's only if we are going to do that first step. Finish off with a very, very nice, true story which I heard from the person himself. It's not so much a story, but it's something which brings out this point, that people are able to achieve tremendous, tremendous things by doing one step at a time. People have probably heard the name. There was in the 19, in the beginning of 2000, there was this young Baal Shiva. His name is called Shimon Kolyakov. He's a from the Bukharim community. He lives in Queens, originally from Uzbekistan. He was a public school student, a young student who knew very, very little from Yiddishkeit. He came from a non-observant family. And he lived in Queens. Someone taps him on the shoulder and tells him, would you like to hear a very inspirational talk speech in a shul called Bet Gavriel? He says, no interest. He said, there's going to be pizza there. Pizza, that's a different story. Sign me up. He goes in, of course he enjoys the pizza, and he was tremendously inspired by whoever the speaker was at the time. And they asked him, would you like to join again next week, the following week? We do it once a week, depending on what food there is. So we told him it's going to be sushi. He's in. Next week, the following week, he joins again, and he became tremendously inspired. And so, slowly but surely, he found himself coming back every single week. It started off because of the sushi and the pizza, but slowly but surely, he started becoming inspired. And he saw that it was making a tremendous impact. These speeches were making a tremendous impact on him. And he decided, you know what, why not share it with other people? At the time, he didn't have much, there was not much technology around. He had a little recorder, you know, the little recorders you have, audio recorder. So he said, I'm going to record it, and perhaps to be able to share it with other people. So he used to put the little recorder down in front of this, whoever was giving the speech at the time. People asked him, what's the purpose? Why put the little recorder down? I don't know, because perhaps one day I'll be able to share this with other people. He put the recorder down. A few months later, the technology started advancing, and then his parents bought him as a chasna present, a video camera, you know, the old video cameras, the little video cameras. So he decided he's going to start recording, not just audio, but actually video. I started taking video recordings. People ask them, why are you doing this? I just want to record it so that perhaps one day I'll be able to share it with other people. And so he started recording it. He came to every, and he started going around to other shuls within the area. He used to record around about between 5 or 7 speeches a week. And he had them all recorded down, and some people asked him, you know, I missed the last one, could he please send it to me? And he used to send it to his friends. He made DVD, made copies, you know, hard copies of the DVD players, and he used to give it out, copies to this one, to that one. He felt an urge, he felt a passion to share, because he was so inspired, he wanted other people to also share the inspiration with him, one step at a time. At some point, the dot-com boom, and the internet started coming up. And his brother, who was a little more technical savvy than him, decided to open up a website, and he's going to put Shiurim on the website. So he asked his brother was called Reuven Kolyakov, so he asked his brother Shimon, perhaps you could share with me, and those few speeches that you managed to record up until now, we'll upload it onto this website. And so that's what they did manually. They had to upload every single thing separately. It was a very primitive website. And then slowly but surely, the first week they had 50 hits, 50 people went onto the website, and on those days you couldn't stream it, you could just download it. The following month they already had, from 50 went up to 250, and then the following month to 500, and then slowly to 1,000. To this very day, this is a very well-known website called theToireAnytime.com. And just to give the numbers, within the last time I checked, they had, in the last past year, they had 15 million hours of views within the last year itself. 15 million hours of views in the last year, plus another 3 million hours on the telephone. For those who haven't got the internet, another 3 million people hours on the telephone. There's over a million users on the website, over a million users, with another about 150 to 200,000 users on the app, besides for the tens of thousands on the telephone. There's 120,000 people who get the letter sheet that they send out every single day, and then another 30,000 or so that get the daily dose to the email, to the WhatsApp, whatever it is. We're talking about over a million hours within 1 month. Every single month, we've got over 1.2 million hours of people listening to Torah, the Torah Anytime. That's besides for all the other organizations that they have, called Chesed Anytime, and Rebbe Anytime, and Her Anytime, and all the different Anytimes that they have, and all the various different Shabbatons that they do, and books that they give out, and Gileonis. It all started from one Bal Shiva, a young boy with a little primitive MP3 player that he recorded audio with not very good quality. That was what he started, because he did one step at a time. That was what he said. That was this one speech that he had. He wanted to share it with the public. He decided he's going to record it and they're going to share it one step at a time. But he put himself in that direction. He took the first step in that direction, and that is why they achieved what they were able to achieve. And this applies to every single one in our lives. We are all able to be zeuche to this only on condition that we are going to light that first candle. We are going to go out to war, even though it seems beyond reach, because we understand that we do not live within the laws of nature. There is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and we are constantly surrounded by miracles, by hidden miracles. And by doing that, we'll all be Hashem be zeuche, be Hashem that Ribbono Shel Olam will build up the Beis Hamikdash b'kura b'yamayni b'mehayra b'yamayni umayni.
Yeah.